Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is May 4th, 2016. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 17,651, the NASDAQ at 4725, and the S&P at 2051. I am back from vacation, and while I'm very excited to be back, I've completely slowed down. So while I was a manic mess during tax season, I went to Michigan, visited with my mother. I'm from a tiny town, and boy, did I slow down. So we'll have to see if I pick up the pace tonight, so bear with me. As you know, listeners, this is a live show. While we've been running recordings the last couple weeks, it is live. If you have questions, you're welcome to call in. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Almost forgot the number there, Neil.
That's it.
610-758-8810. Lori is in the studio with us this evening. Yes, that's Lori Catanzaro. She's taking the phone calls tonight. So you're going to have two Loris when you call in with your questions. But she will answer your call. If you would like to talk off on air, we'll put the call through. If it's off air, she'll take your question and write the information down and bring it into the studio to me, and I will answer the question best I can. If you do call in live, we ask you to mute your radio so that you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. And while we do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, we will take calls on other topics as well. Also, if you would like to email questions, you can do that through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Boy, I feel like I'm so rusty. I've been doing this for how long now? I think like 8 or 9 years or something, and I've gone away to Michigan for a few weeks, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm having to start fresh here. So folks, if you have questions, you can call in at 610-758-8810. What are we talking about tonight? Well, this is a fun topic for me, and let me tell you why. Because I don't like when things go wrong for people. It upsets me so, which is why I end every show with that saying that I do, which is be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Where that comes from is the situations where over the years I've had clients come to me after they have already done something. And then we need to try to fix it. So one of the things that happens that upsets me, which is why I love doing this show and educating people, educating the listeners, is sometimes people don't know what they don't know. And what you don't know might hurt you. So I thought it would be a fun show to cover some topics or financial choices or strategies that people have implemented that really we should learn from. So I'm going to throw out a few things and ideas about, did you know this? And if you knew this, we could have made better decisions and it would help you financially, which is always a good thing. My saying to people is, if you saw, $20 on the floor. Would you pick it up? Sure, you'd pick up 10, you'd pick up 5, you'd probably pick up a dollar, and I bet most of us would pick up a dime. So if there's little cost savings that we can help you be aware of and help you know what might be applicable in your situation, or at least put up that flag that, gosh, I think there's something about this. Let me call an expert. Let me call a professional. Let me get a second opinion. Let me get some advice. Then we've done our job. So we will get started with that. I'm going to talk about several different areas. I'm going to talk about some things you might not know about that you need to know about as far as taxes and some related items, estate planning, divorce, cash flow, and retirement planning, and then a little bit about investments if we have time. So if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So let's start with taxes and related items. What you don't know might hurt you. And that is when penalties may apply and how to work around them. One thing that I have seen a number of people do is take money out of their retirement accounts. They're in a pinch. Maybe they don't have emergency reserves. So that's the number one item you need to do, is make sure you have emergency reserves. If you don't have emergency reserves and you find yourself in the position where you have to take a distribution out of a retirement account, might there be some exceptions to penalties that will apply if you're taking out early distributions? So let me tell you what that is. An early withdrawal is if you are taking out money from a retirement account prior to age 59 and a half, unless an exception applies, you will not only pay income tax on that withdrawal, but you will also have a 10% penalty. Now, you really want to not do that, because if already you're in trouble and don't have enough money, you're taking it out of a retirement account, you're really shortchanging yourself, because you're going to have income tax on that plus the 10% penalty. So if you're in a 25% tax bracket, you're already talking about 35% in taxes. So you need $10,000, you take a $10,000 distribution, you're only going to clear $6,500 of that after you pay the taxes in the long run. You might think you're getting $10,000 out, but then when you go to file your tax return, you find out about these income taxes and penalties, then you're in trouble. Now, let me add on to that. What you don't know, might not know, is that withdrawal might also be subject to taxes in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania will tax your early distribution unless you can prove contribution. And you would be surprised how many people cannot prove contribution. Now, what I'm talking about is when you put money into a 401k through your employer. Let's pretend you make $50,000 and you put $5,000 in a 401k. When you get your W-2 at the end of the year, for federal, your federal taxable income would be $45,000. But for Pennsylvania, it's $50,000, because Pennsylvania doesn't give us a deduction for that 401k contribution. So if I now have a 401k with $5,000 in it and I take it out, the IRS is going to tax us for federal and the 10% penalty on that $5,000. So we're going to pay, in my example of 25% tax bracket, we would pay 35% in income tax. Pennsylvania says you took $5,000 out of the 401k. We're going to tax you too, unless you can prove contribution. So you would want to make sure that you, well, first of all, I hope you never take money out of your retirement accounts early. But if you find that you may be in that position, before you do it, you certainly want to go back and look to see if you could document that indeed that was your contribution that you put in, that you already paid taxes on that for Pennsylvania. So we want you to be aware of exceptions to the early withdrawal if you have to take money out of retirement accounts. And there are a number of exceptions. And what I will do when we come back from our first break is go over some of those other exceptions quickly. And then I also want to talk about what happens if your income goes over certain thresholds on page one and you are paying for Medicare. That may affect how much you're paying for Medicare. We'll talk about that when we come back from our break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking about what you don't know might hurt you on your financial choices tonight. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or off air, whatever you are more comfortable doing. So one of the things you might know is if you are in a position where you have to take out withdrawal out of a retirement account prior to age 59 and a half, there's a 10% penalty. And what you need to know would be, are there any exceptions that may apply? So some of the other exceptions are, and it depends on if it's a 401k or an IRA. We talk about qualified plans, which are 401ks and 403bs, and not qualified, but retirement accounts are IRAs, and there's different rules for each. So you have to be very careful about that as well. So really the flag is if you ever have to take money out of a retirement account, you know, ask for expert advice so you make sure that you do everything right and avoid the penalty if you can. So for example, and I'm not going to list all the exceptions, but I just thought I would run through a few of them. For example, if you end up going through a divorce and you split assets, if there is a pension or a 401k that is part of the settlement, there is usually something written up through the court called the Qualified Domestic Relations Order, a quadro. If you are under age 59 and a half and you have this quadro, usually, let's, in my example, it's going to be the wife. So the husband was the worker, the wife, you know, stayed at home, took care of the kids, raised the kids, worked hard at home, and they have a quadro and they're under age 59 and a half. Maybe they don't have retirement monies. Maybe they don't have a job. So they're going to have to live off some of this money. There is an exception to the 10% penalty on an early withdrawal from a 401k, 403b qualified plan under the quadro. So quite often I'll tell folks, if they are getting divorced and they have a quadro and they're under age 59 and a half, you might want to keep that money there in case you need it, that the exception to the 10% penalty would apply. So that's something people need to know. What I have seen happen is people will have these quadros and they'll go talk to an investment advisor, and the investment advisor says, oh, roll that over to an IRA with that quadro. You can roll it over to an IRA and then you have your own IRA. Well, yeah, but guess what? The 10% penalty exception doesn't apply anymore under the IRA. So you have to be very, very careful about that. This, another one that people confuse sometimes, is qualified higher education expenses. If you have to pull out money out of a retirement account because, oh, gosh darn, you didn't save enough for your child's education and you want to pay it, you don't want to take out a loan, and you decide to take $10,000 out of your 401k, guess what? There's no exception to the 10% penalty on that. So you would be taxed on that $10,000 plus a 10% penalty, which is $1,000 on $10,000. So you don't really want to do that or put yourself in that position. There is an exception, a 10% penalty exception, if you're taking that money out of an IRA for those qualified higher education expenses. But there's caps on how much you can do. So you want to make sure you're not doing more than those specific amounts. If you know you're going to be in a pinch for several years, there is something called a 72T calculation that we can do. That 72T stands for the IRS revenue code, the Internal Revenue Code section, 72T, for a series of substantially equal payments. So someone came to me and they said, you know, I'm just really on hard times. I just can't take the stress. I can't go back to work, but, you know, I don't qualify for disability and I really need money. And I have this huge, you know, rollover IRA or 401k. You can set up these series of substantially equal payments to avoid the 10% penalty. Again, you'll still have income tax, but you'll avoid the penalty. You can segregate accounts, which can help determine the amount that you would get monthly, because there's strict guidelines on what is considered substantially equal payment. It's based on your life expectancy, on the value of the account. So what you can do is sometimes segregate the money to kind of manage what that monthly amount might be that you need, or that annual amount. The little nudge there is you have to do it the longer of, I believe, 5 years or age 59 and a half. And if you deter from that in any way, the IRS can come back and tax you on all of the amounts with the 10% penalty on all the amounts that you had taken. So you want to be very careful if you are going to set up a 72T payment. You want to be very careful, but that is an exception as well to the 10% penalty. There are some exceptions for home buyers, for qualified first-time home buyers up to $10,000, not available from qualified plans, 401ks and 403bs, but an exception does apply if it's from an IRA. So there are a number of exceptions. There are some other exceptions, like certain medical expenses if they exceed the limitation on your Schedule A itemized deduction. That could be a very tricky calculation, so you want to make sure it's going to apply if you're going to use that as a backdoor. But what I have seen sometimes is people who've done it and didn't realize they would have an exception to the 10% penalty. There may be ways for us to find the 10% penalty exception after you've done it. So when we talk about being proactive or reactive, sometimes we have to be reactive, and it doesn't mean that we've lost all of our options. There still might be options available, but I really, really prefer that people think this through prior to doing it to make sure that we have as much coverage or exceptions available that we can use. Health insurance, certain ones from an IRA, not from the 401k. Other exceptions might apply as well for disability. If you're permanently disabled and you have to take money out, there could be an exception to the 10% penalty on that too. All right. So that's one of those things that you might not know but should know. And if you don't, it could hurt you. So be aware if you are in one of those predicaments of taking early withdrawals pre-age 59 and a half. One other exception I forgot that I do mention quite often on the show is if you terminate employment in the year you turn 55, so that if you are 55 by December 31st, maybe you lost your job on January 1st, but you're 55 by December 31st, if you have money in your employer plan, your 401k, there is an exception to the 10% penalty if you've terminated employment at 55 and you have to take a distribution. Again, still the income tax, but not the 10% penalty. That does not apply to an IRA. So again, if you are someone who is retiring at 55, maybe it was one of those, yes, we're early retiring you and you're not sure you're going to have a job next week or maybe even in a year, I usually suggest to those folks, keep the money in the 401k, as long as it was a decent 401k with decent investment options. Keep the money in the 401k, because if you have to tap it, at least you would have the exception to the 10% penalty if you are 55 by December 31st. All right. When we come back, we're going to go into talking about being aware of your page one income. If you are someone who is 65 or older and has Medicare, you're paying Medicare premiums, there's a chance that your Medicare premiums could increase depending on how much income you have on page one. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And you can give your question to Lori, who is taking calls this evening, or she can write it down and bring it into the studio or put you through to talk live with me. All right. We are talking about things you might not know that could hurt you. So I want all of the Your Financial Choice listeners to, of course, be informed and know, and at least have that red flag go up when you're making some financial decisions to make sure there isn't something that you don't know. So let's talk about Medicare premiums. I'm not sure how many of you realize that just a few years ago, gosh, time flies so fast, maybe it's been more than a few years ago, but prior to that period, Medicare premiums weren't adjusted. It was whatever they said the Medicare premiums were going to be, that's what they were. Now it's, I think, $121.80 a month for 2016. So let's say several years ago, didn't matter how much money someone made, everyone paid the same premiums. Several years ago, they started making it income-based. So there is a premium adjustment that could be made if you go over certain thresholds on your income tax return. So for individuals making, it's actually called modified adjusted gross income. So it's not always just looking at the bottom line page one income. There's some other adjustments that go into it, like tax exempt interest. And again, many, many years ago, people just didn't even put the tax exempt interest on their tax return. But you have to now. It's getting reported to the IRS. You were put on the tax exempt interest. And the reason you have to do that is because it comes into the calculation of this modified adjusted gross income to see if you are someone who would be affected by these Medicare premium adjustments. Now, individuals, $85,000 or less, married filing joint, $170,000 or less, your premium is the standard premium. It's $121.80. However, if your income, that modified adjusted gross income, goes over certain thresholds, there's an additional premium of $48.70 for single or married filing joint. The married filing joint threshold is if it goes over 170. So if we go over 85 or go over 170, it's $48.70 extra per month per person. So if you're married filing joint, it's an extra $48.70 each. But that's capped as well. So the range for individuals is 85 to 107, married filing joint 170 to 214. When it goes over 214 married filing joint, the premium is the 121.80 plus an additional 121.80. So it's doubled each month for each person. And this goes on until you're over, let's see, 320 to 428, it's an extra $194.90. For people making over $428,000, it's an extra $268 a month. And the premiums that apply to the prescription drug coverage also go up. So if you don't know that, then you may not be prepared for it. And what happens is it's like a ghost because it's 2 years later that you find out about it. So for the 2015 tax returns, that'll show up in January of 2017. You're going to get a little letter from Social Security saying, here's what your projected monthly Social Security benefit is, and here is what your monthly projected Medicare premium is. And if you don't pay attention to that letter or don't look closely, when you go to your checkbook or your bank account and you see the automatic deposits every month, you're going to say, what? It's $122 less, or it's $194 less than what I expected. It could be this premium surcharge. Here's the second piece you might not know of. So first of all, you might not have realized that the premiums could adjust based on your income. The second thing you might not know is that because Social Security and Medicare look back 2 years, you may have had a change in circumstance that you could actually get out of paying that extra premium. You want to pay attention if in that prior period that they're reviewing, did you have a change in circumstance such as retirement or disability? There are certain circumstances that they will look at your current income instead of looking at the income from 2 years ago. From your So in January 2017, you get this notice. You say, hey, wait, in 2015, my income was so high because it was my last year of work. I retired. I got a huge severance. I got all the stock options. You can write a letter. There's a special form. It's on Social Security's website or Medicare.gov's website, where you can request an adjustment because of a change in circumstance. So you want to make sure that you do that if you have that apply. All right? You want to pay attention to it. We have a caller on line one. Carolyn from Salisbury.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Good. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. I have a question on behalf of the small nonprofit organization that I am the treasurer of. We are required to file IRS Form 990N. It's an e-postcard every year.
Yep.
And I tried right from the IRS website. I had some technical difficulties with that. And then apparently there's a number of other websites you can do this filing from. And I filled out one of the forms fine. I mean, you put in the EIN, it knew our address.
Right.
And then it said, there's no charge, but we need your credit card information to verify who you are.
I haven't heard of that, Carolyn.
I saw red flags. I just got out of there.
Yeah, I love red flags. Not to say that it's not legitimate. I've not heard of that.
Yeah.
I would be suspicious of it. Mm. Did the IRS provide a link to that particular website?
No, they did not.
You just kind of Googled it and found that online.
Exactly. Yeah, I tried the one that I used last year. It was a different one, and they seemed to not be available.
Oh. You might call the IRS and see if they have partnered with anyone that could do that. Because, as you said, it's simply a postcard filing, and in essence, it's the name of your nonprofit, the EIN, and your address. So there's
Why do they need my credit card?
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that was good that you X'd out of it. Mm-hmm. But I would expect that if the IRS has partnered with anyone, that it would be available on their website. And I just don't know off the top of my head if they have or not, but those filings have to be done by May 15th. So you might want to, check that sooner than later.
I think
it's May 15th.
I'll try it again through the website then and see.
See if there's something on the IRS website. Just Google, put 990N postcard, resources or something, and see if something comes up. And if not, just email me and we can talk.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay. All right, Carolyn. Thanks for calling in. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. See, I like that. Red flags. People have to pay attention and not always trust, especially today when there's so many sophisticated ways that people can take advantage. So hopefully Carolyn will find a website that is reliable and safe that she can use. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8255. 8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. You can call and talk live on air or off air. Just give your question to Lori in the studio and she will write it down and bring it in to me. So we're talking tonight about what you don't know might hurt you. So we've talked about some tax-related items, early withdrawals, page one income, watching out for the Medicare premium increases. If you're not paying attention to your income, this is something we try to watch for clients who are doing tax planning and may be doing things like IRA conversions to Roth. You really want to watch that income when you can control it. Let's talk a minute about something else that's fairly new that some people may not be aware of, which is the qualified charitable distribution. That's for people who are 70 and a half or older. They have required minimum distributions out of their IRA accounts. Last year, I guess, Congress made it permanent that these people can make distributions from their IRA directly to charity, and it is not reported on page one of their return. You can do this up to $100,000, and it can be a smaller than your required minimum distribution amount as well. So, for example, if your required minimum distribution is $5,000 and you give $2,000 to your church every year, you can go to your custodian and say, please make a check for $2,000 to my favorite church. Give me the other $3,000. With this, you have complied with your required minimum distribution. You've made a contribution to the church. The custodian sends you the check. You take the check to the church. The church gives you the receipt. Here's the part you have to know. When you go to do your tax return, that 1099-R will show the $5,000 distribution. It will be coded as an IRA. But nowhere on that 1099-R will it show that it $2,000 of it was made to a qualified charity and that it's a qualified charitable distribution and that you can reduce the taxable amount by $2,000 on page one. It does not show that anywhere on that 1099-R, at least to date. And I don't know if there are any plans by the IRS to modify these forms to ask custodians to indicate that. I almost expect they wouldn't do it because the custodian is sending the check, even though written to the charity, to the participant. And then it is your responsibility to take that check to the charity and get your receipt. You have to be aware the 1099-R at tax time will not code that. You need to make sure you have your receipt. You want to make sure you tell your tax advisor, your tax preparer, or remember it yourself when you go to prepare your return if you prepare your return yourself. That's one thing that you need to know. The other thing to need to know is what a great deduction for people who don't itemize that have always just taken the standard deduction, or now that you're older, you're over 70 and a half, you no longer work, you no longer have that income tax deduction, you don't have a mortgage, so you don't have a mortgage deduction, you take the standard deduction. Normally, charitable contributions don't help you then. But guess what? Many of us are still charitable. We're still making charitable contributions even if we don't itemize. If you're over 70 and a half and you have a standard deduction, I'm telling you, this is a great, great strategy to get a deduction. In my example, $5,000 on page one, IRA distribution, I can reduce it by $2,000 in my example, and that lowers my taxable income by $2,000. But guess what else it might do? If you are also a Social Security recipient, that your taxable Social Security is intertwined with the other income on your return. Sometimes when we lower our income on our return, it also lowers the amount of our Social Security that's taxed. This is like a circular calculation, one that you need to be aware of. It's awesome. It's great. I can save people hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on this, and sometimes probably thousands. But in my one case, I just had this with a client, and I think it saved about $1,200 in taxes. So something to pay attention to. Love the qualified charitable distribution. All right, we also had let me just add as well, folks, for those people who have that Medicare threshold they're bumping up against, if you do that qualified charitable distribution, that lowers the income on page one, that's going to lower that modified adjusted gross income and may help you avoid the increased premium if you're on that threshold, if you're one of those people who are on those thresholds where you're going to be subject to an increase in your Medicare premium. We had a call from John in Regalsville. John asked the question, the IRS website will never ask for a credit card. It is fraudulent. They will send you a letter and never call you first either. Thank you, John, for reminding our listeners of that. That is absolutely true. Now, our caller situation was they actually weren't on an IRS website. They went on a website that was like a tax preparation website. And this is another lesson in being careful and paying attention to the red flags, because we have seen, I know, during tax season, so many different income tax providers that were offering free tax preparation if you were under certain income thresholds and they were partnering with the IRS, which is one of the reasons, John, I had mentioned to Carolyn that perhaps she could go on the IRS's website to see if they actually partnered with any tax preparers for this particular kind of tax return, which was a 990. So that is another reminder. So many people are getting those calls, John, where they're saying they're with the IRS, you owe money, and give me your credit card or run down to the local drugstore and put the amount that you owe on a debit card. Very, very dangerous, and they sound sometimes very sophisticated. So that is true. The IRS will never ask for your credit card information, and they will never call you either unless you have already prearranged something. The IRS does not call demanding money, so be very, very careful. I love when we get those calls at home. I would love to pick up those phone and say, hello, really? Seriously? You're going to take all my money? I owe you the IRS money? But they never seem to call when I'm home. It's always on my answering machine, and they're going to take me to court and all kinds of things. But we know those aren't true. But in many cases, they sound quite sophisticated and know a lot of information about you. So be careful of that. That's another one of those, if what you don't know. What you don't know might be that the IRS will never call you. So thanks, John, for that. Folks, if you do have questions or comments, that was great. The phone number is 610-758-8810. More things about what you don't know might hurt you. Let's move into estate planning. Anybody who listens to the radio or watches television knows that we just had someone very, very famous pass away. Prince died recently, and so far there is no will. They cannot find a will. And there was a recent article in the Chicago Tribune by Gail Marks Jarvis, who I know and have spoken with. And she wrote an article on this, that Prince's death illustrates importance of having a will. With no wife or children first in line, according to state law, which is under Illinois rules, Prince's six siblings will inherit. Now, that could be quite complicated. Maybe Prince didn't care. Maybe Prince understood this. This is something that people have to realize as well. Maybe there are people who understand that the intestate rules will kick in and that family members may fight over their estate, and maybe they just don't care because they're going to be gone anyway. Unfortunately, what I was sad to hear is that someone with this much net worth, with this much value, and apparently he has, you know, volumes and volumes and volumes of music that's not been written. The sad thing for me here is that there could have been so much that he could have done with that as far as charitable giving as well. He could have taken care of his family members, his siblings, and also left a legacy to maybe struggling musicians, colleges, Minnesota, where he was from, that town that did so much for him. There could have been so much that he could have done. That's the sad part, in my opinion, that someone with that much wealth didn't do some planning where he could have had that that wealth and that legacy that he left live on and on and on in a number of ways, helping so many people. So what you don't know is that if you don't have a will and there are assets in your name alone, they may not go to the people you think they're going to. Often, if there's a couple, married, you know, a husband and wife, they will think that the assets automatically go to the spouse. But in Pennsylvania, that is not the case. If I own a bank account, and let's pretend I have $100,000 in it, and it's in my name alone, and I die without a will, which I do have a will, but if I die without a will, that $100,000 doesn't all go to my husband, because I have three children. And in Pennsylvania, there's rules around that. The spouse can take a certain percent, and then the balance is split with the children. So the money isn't always going where you think it's going. If there's no will, there's no way that someone knows what your intention was. I did a presentation on that once. Where there's a will, there's a way. So if there's no will, there's no way. Estate planning. What you don't know might hurt you, or it might hurt your heirs unintentionally. So get off the pot and take care of business. What else? Estate as beneficiary on IRAs. We see this all the time. If you have a 401k, IRA, those are taxable accounts when they're distributed, not the Roth IRA. There's no income tax on a Roth when it eventually comes out, but an IRA and a 401k, 403b retirement accounts. They're ordinary income. They get taxed. They are something we call income in respect of a decedent. So they would have been taxable to the decedent during their lifetime, and it's going to be taxable to the heirs unless you're a charity. So if you name the estate as the beneficiary, then the estate has to take that money out in an accelerated fashion. If you instead name an individual or number of individuals as beneficiaries, then the IRS allows the distributions out of those retirement accounts to be taken out over that beneficiary's life expectancy. If you don't know that, then you could accelerate the taxation and cause a real tax problem for your beneficiaries. And your beneficiaries may be relying on that money to cover cash flow and their expenses. And if 25, 35, 40% of it ends up going to pay income taxes because it was accelerated in such a fashion that the whole doggone thing is taxed at once, or your executor doesn't know how this works, then your beneficiaries could be in trouble and not benefit as much as they could have if you had done proper planning. You want to make sure you're doing things the right way. Also, making a charity a beneficiary of retirement accounts versus specific gifts is another good way to make sure that you're heirs, your individual heirs are getting cash, and your charity, if you are charitably inclined, that they're getting the taxable accounts. Don't give the charity, you know, $100,000 cash out of your will. Let them have the $100,000 IRA. Little things you want to pay attention to. These are the things you talk about with your estate attorney when you're doing your documents. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're coming up on the last quarter of the show. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices here on WDIY. Lehigh Valley weather 52 and cloudy. Tonight, scattered showers, cloudy with a low around 45. Thursday, patchy drizzle, then a chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 56. Friday, showers likely, cloudy with a high near 57. And then on the weekend, we have chance of showers each morning and then partly sunny with a high near 66 on Saturday and Sunday.
Welcome back to the show, folks. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We're talking about what you don't know might hurt you, trying to alert you to a few things to pay attention to. And while some of these items may not apply to you directly right now, they may apply to you in the future. They may apply to your parents. They may apply to your children. So we love when you share this information. WDIY does great programming, educational programs. We try to keep our listeners informed. So if you find this information helpful, we welcome you to share the time of the show or just the website, wdiy.org, because we have podcasts on the website that you can go back and listen to particular topics that may be of interest to you. And you can also listen online so that if you're not in our new expanded listening area, you can still mention to friends and families that they can stream it online. So lots of good information we like to bring to you. A few other items. Well, I have actually a lot more items, but I tried to pace the show in such a way that now I'm running out of time and I go into fast mode. Some things to pay attention to if folks are getting divorced, thinking about getting divorced. Maybe you're not thinking about getting divorced, but you're thinking maybe my marriage, you know, is kind of rocky. A few things you want to pay attention to in the event that you might be going down that path. You want to make sure, first of all, if you think it could be going that way, be suspicious if your spouse never shares any financial information with you or doesn't have you really look at the tax return and just has you sign it. They put it in front of you. Here, sign, honey. You want to make sure that you're involved. Stay involved. Make sure you're looking at copies of the tax return, looking at the mail, seeing what kind of statements are coming in. What does the monthly mail look like when it's coming? So kind of pay attention to that. The other thing is if you do plan on getting divorced, you want to make sure that you have a copy of the tax return before you're out of the house. Make sure you have copies of some of these important documents before you're out of the house. Because once you're out of the house, you don't know if the spouse who's left there might be shredding, hiding, moving, eliminating, and not then have available to you copies. When you do go through a divorce, typically if there's lawyers involved, they're going to request, you know, production of all of this information. But unless you kind of are privy to it, sometimes you don't know what someone might tell their lawyer or not. So kind of be aware. You want to make sure you have a copy of the marriage certificate and the social security number of your former spouse in the event that you would qualify for social security on their record. When you get divorced, if you have not remarried and you were married at least 10 years, you may qualify to get Social Security from that former spouse. So you want to make sure you have that information because Social Security is going to ask for it when you go in to apply. We have a caller on line one. We have Joe in Center Valley. Hi, Joe.
Hi there.
Hi, how can I help you?
Well, I have no relationship anymore with my family of birth. I'm in my late 50s, and I have life insurance, whole life insurance policies of like $25,000, and I have a last will and testament. And since I didn't want, I didn't have family, I just put my beneficiary of the life insurance to be my estate. And I believe this may change in a few years because I have a significant relationship. But for now, I don't know really what's wrong with it to do it that way. Some people say you don't. But the thing is, if I would put like a friend or a charity as the beneficiary of the life insurance policy, I mean, I wouldn't cover my debts.
Right.
Is my understanding that would be their money then if something happens to me. So does this make any sense with the way
yes.
I have it now?
Well, yeah, Joe. And each person has their own situation. And in your situation, I think that was a good point for you to make, that you want to make sure that that life insurance is there to cover your debts, like your final expenses and funerals. And some people aren't so generous and careful about that because we can have bankrupt estates as well. But why some people will say not to necessarily name the estate, if you do have individuals that you could name, is because in Pennsylvania, life insurance is not subject to inheritance tax. But if the estate is the beneficiary of the life insurance policy, it does make it a probate asset. And it's not bad to be a probate asset. There are probate fees. They're very low in Pennsylvania. And then your executor would have that money in the estate account and they would administer it. And if there's an attorney, there may be some attorney fees depending on how they charge. It might be on probate assets, like a percentage, or it might be on their time. So there might be reasons why we wouldn't ordinarily want to make something probate if it didn't have to be, because you could name a beneficiary. But in your situation, it sounds to me like you've thought it through and you want to make sure there's money there for those expenses. You know, I think you have a valid reason there. But as time goes on, let's say, 10 more years, you have, some emergency reserves, $25,000 in the bank, and now you have this $50,000 life insurance policy, and you have this great person you're with now, at some time in the future, you could change it. And that's the wonderful thing about having a beneficiary. You can change those beneficiary designations like all the time. So it's very flexible. But I see your logic, and I think that's okay. Let me see what else. And then the will, just so you know, the will just controls what's in your name alone. So if you have retirement accounts or IRAs, the beneficiary designation on those is what controls that. And if you have beneficiary designations, normally it's non-probate because it's going to someone other than the estate. So if your retirement accounts or IRAs, if you name an individual, that individual just needs a death certificate and they can go, take that over. But there still might be inheritance tax on it. So in Pennsylvania, anything that you controlled prior to your death is going to be subject to inheritance tax.
Okay.
All right. That's, so you just want to be careful. I would be careful about making an estate a beneficiary of any retirement account. That is always concern
well,
for me.
The way it is now, they are the same thing. Like I do have a retirement account through my teaching job, and it's only building now because I started doing it only 3 years ago or so.
Right.
But yeah, that's the estate too, because really up until the time I started, I really didn't have anybody who I would say this. Not like my last will and testament, it does go to a charitable organization if something would happen after expenses.
Right.
But I didn't see. I mean, it's the same reason that with the life insurance policy, as I said, I didn't have anybody to.
Right.
Say.
Well,
it might change in a few years. I believe it would, but
right.
I just not there.
Well, you could name the charity the beneficiary of your retirement account, by the way. And that I love, because charities don't pay income tax. So then there would be no inheritance tax and no income tax in that situation. And let's say over time it grows and you still have an individual that you'd like to benefit. You could do percentages. You could do 50% to charity, 50% to an individual, 10%, 90%. There's a number of things you could do. But I think, for now, it sounds to me like you've done what's worked for you and you have a will. That's great. You have some beneficiary designations and keep reviewing it, though. So that's good.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay, great, Joe. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Great questions. That's one of the reasons I love this show and love having the opportunity to do this show. So divorce, we talked about the marriage certificate, Social Security, assets, making sure you're aware of what's going on. Just keep your eyes and ears open. Here's the other thing you have to pay attention to if you're going through a divorce. Assets and hidden items that you might not realize you should track or be aware of or have your, you know, your radar up on. And that is when you're filing income tax returns, if you have had losses, like you've sold securities or mutual funds, and you might have capital losses on your tax return, you want to pay attention to, in the divorce settlement, who gets those capital loss carry forwards? How are they getting split? If they're $100,000, are they all going to whoever files the tax return first? You want to pay attention to that. Make sure, is it going to be half and half? Did they really belong to one spouse versus the other? Make sure you know what is happening with that. Another item I've seen that some people may not pay attention to in a divorce when we're looking at assets and cash that's available to each of the spouses, severance. So I had a gentleman once who had, I think it was like 170 days of sick time. Well, there's value to that. And if this person is quitting or leaving work, there might be some value that we want to make sure that you're capturing when you're looking at divvying up assets, because it could be really important in some cases if someone is going to be better off than the other. All assets are not created equally. So when you are thinking about divorce or going through divorce and thinking about assets that are divvying up, they have different income tax consequences. So you want to really pay attention if one person's getting the house and the other person's getting the IRA, if they're both worth $200,000, well, that house, $200,000, I get an income tax deduction for it. Maybe there's no mortgage left. That's an awesome asset. If I have a $200,000 IRA and I'm in a 25% tax bracket, that asset's only worth $150,000. You want to make sure you're paying attention. So those are some tips for divorce. Cash flow. I've already talked about borrowing money from retirement accounts. You have to make sure that if you take loans on your retirement accounts and you sever employment, that loan's going to be due. Big caution there. The loan's going to be due. If you're under age 59 and a half, they make you pay it out of the retirement account. You not only have the income tax on it, but you have a 10% penalty on an early distribution. Be careful of that. Mortgage rates. If you haven't looked at your mortgage rate lately, please do so. If you are someone who in the past hasn't been able to refinance because you were underwater, you didn't have enough value in your home, you may now. And you may also be eligible to apply for something under HARP. That is for folks who, I believe, had loans under like Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. You want to look to see if you can refinance if you are someone who has a higher mortgage interest rate because values have come up, or this HARP loan may apply to you and that was extended through the end of 2016. So please look at that. Maximizing 401k contributions. If you're over 55, you may have to make a separate election to get the catch-up contribution, which I think is $5,500 now off the top of my head. So you might be someone who went in and said, hey, max out my 401k contribution, but now you've turned 50. I'm sorry, 50. You could do a catch-up contribution, but your employer, it's a separate election typically. So you may have to go into HR and tell them, you know what, I'm over 50 now. I want to do the catch-up contribution too. And you thought it would just max it. Well, it might not. You might have to do a separate request for that. All right, folks, it was a great show. Thanks for having me back. I had to kind of get back into the swing of things. I feel like I'm getting back into the swing of things. Next week, I am talking about financial planning considerations for women. And that's because I'm also going to talk about the Lehigh Valley Women's Summit that's coming up in, I believe, June. So we're going to have a couple people come in and talk about that. And I thought we'll talk about financial planning considerations for women as well. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of the divorce and Social Security options that you have available as well. I want to thank Lori for being here tonight. I want to thank Neil for being here tonight. Thank our listeners for calling in and asking great questions. You're already much appreciated. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.